And right now, though, we're ready to go to the phones, where we are joined by Dr. Gary Chapman.
He has a new book out called God Speaks Your Love Language. Dr. Chapman, thanks for getting up early with us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you guys.
You sound very chipper and awake for this early in the morning.
Well, I'm a morning person, okay?
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Well, that works out good then.
Most doctors get up early, right?
I don't know about everybody else, but I do.
Okay.
Good.
We've heard about the concept of love languages, the five love languages that you had in an earlier book. How is this book different from that when you speak about love language?
Well, you know, people kept asking me the question, what is God's love language? And so I just went to the scriptures and read all the way through the scriptures again, and I found out God speaks all five love languages. He speaks them fluently. And we tend to be drawn to Christ by our own love language. If words is our language, then we tend to be drawn to Christ by words. You know, take Martin Luther, for example. You know, he was trying hard to please God, working hard to get into heaven, until he read in the book of Romans, the just shall live by faith, not by works, by faith. And he said, paradise broke in my soul. It was those words that God used to speak to him. So anyway, this book is a study of how people come to Christ, and then there's a whole section on the reality that once we become followers of Christ, we tend to express our love to God in our love language. So if acts of service is my love language, I'm the one that volunteers first to work in the soup kitchen on Thursday nights. So the whole section on that, and then I challenge people to not get into a rut, but to learn new love languages, you know, something that's not natural for them to express their love to God. Anyway, it's a fascinating study.
Well, if those not familiar with the five love languages, why don't you familiarize them with that?
Okay, yeah. Words of affirmation is one way to express love. You look nice in that outfit. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Dr. Chapman. I put a lot of time into this.
Yeah, it's universal to give gifts as an expression of love. The gift says they were thinking about me. And then there's acts of service, doing something for the other person that you know they would like for you to do. Remember, actions speak louder than words for these people. That's true. And then there's quality time, giving them your undivided attention. And then there's physical touch. And the basic idea of the original book is that each of us has a primary love language. One of the five speaks more deeply to us than the other four. And in a marriage, for example, if you want your spouse to feel loved, you've got to learn to speak love in their love language, not your love language. And the same thing is true if they want you to feel loved. And so, you know, I did a whole series on how this applies in marriage, how it applies with your children, with your teenagers, or single adults. But this is kind of this book is the capstone. It's looking at God through the lens of the five love languages. And I think if we understand God is love, you know, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the love of Christ constrains me. It's God's love that draws people to him, not his judgment. It's his love that draws people to follow Christ.
So in looking at these five different love languages, words of affirmation, the quality of time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch, I think most people could look at that and say, okay, I see how God could act in this way and this way. The one that might be a challenge to some people to understand how God could do this, given that God's spirit and he's invisible and all of this, is physical touch. How does God express love to us in physical touch if he's this invisible being without a body and things?
Well, look at Paul on the road to Damascus. He was Saul at the time, going against the Christians in the city of Damascus. And what happened? God touched him physically. He fell to the ground. He was blinded. God got his attention. And God still speaks to people in that love language. You hear people say, I was sitting in church. I was just, you know, minding my own business, just trying to listen to the pastor. And all of a sudden, I felt God's arms around me. My body started shaking. I started weeping. And I knew God was calling me. So, you know, throughout church history, there are people who have come to Christ when they sensed physically. I mean, it was an awareness that God was touching them. So no, God doesn't have physical hands. Jesus did, and I guess he still does. His body is kind of physical, spiritual now. But yeah, God has a way of touching people. If this is their love language, God can touch them physically and draw them to himself.
What if we don't get that feeling of that sense of actual touch, and we may not even just in our emotions feel that God loves us or is there for us?
Well, you know, that's part of the message of this book, that we have different types of conversion experiences, and we shouldn't judge other people. For example, a quality time person, will not have a Saul on the road to Damascus experience. They'll begin reading the Bible, perhaps. They may start going to a church. They might read a Christian book. And one morning in a quiet place, they just say, Lord, I get it. I believe. If they came to Christ through the whole concept of spending time, you know, just listening and seeking God. And the Bible says, if you seek me, you'll find me. Jesus said that, seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. So we have different kind of conversion experiences. And so we have to allow for that and not think, well, my experience was not as dramatic as the other person's experience. The important thing is, have you put your faith in Christ and what he did on the cross? That's the issue.
And how often does God use other people to express his love? He wants to express his love through an act of service. He sends someone to serve that person. He sends someone to give that person a hug.
Yeah, I think that's primarily the way God works today. He works through people. You know, we are his hands. We are his voice. And he said to his disciples, you know, you're going to, instead of catching fish, you're going to catch men. So God uses us. And this book has tremendous implications for evangelism, for reaching out to people. Because people are going to be drawn to Christ by the love of Christ. And if we can understand people's love language and communicate love, the love of God, because the Bible says God's love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we become channels of God's love. And so we speak people's love language as we talk about Christ, and we become God's agent for delivering his message. I love you, I love you, I love you, I want you in my family.
Does God have one primary love language, or is he pretty equal in all of them?
I think he's fluent in all of them. And you, any language you want to speak to God, he's going to get it, okay? After all, he knows the heart, and that's what matters.
So we've been talking about how God shows his love to us through these love languages. So then how do we show our love to God in our love language?
Well, for example, take Martin Luther again. He came to Christ because the word of God, the just shall live by faith, rang in his heart. What did he do with his life? He used words. He wrote commentaries. He wrote hymns. He wrote sermons. He wrote the 95 Theses. I mean, he wrote. He poured out words to God. This is what's natural for a person whose love language is words of affirmation. However, acts of service person, they wouldn't necessarily be doing all of that. What they would be doing is working, showing their love by working, as I said earlier, in the soup kitchen or trimming the neighbor's shrubs or shoveling snow for a neighbor. Acts of service. In their mind, this is the way you show love to God. You love other people in the name of Jesus. So I think our love language affects how we just by nature express our love to God. And remember, we're loving God by loving people.
And that seems to me to be an important point that, you know, because sometimes people fall in that trap like, well, if you love God, you'll be down with me serving in the soup kitchen. Or if you love God, you'll be doing this particular thing, which may be their expression in their love language, but someone else may express their love to God in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I hope will happen in this book, that we will, the person to read it will say, oh, I've always felt like everybody should be doing what I'm doing. No. You know, we're all different, and we have different love languages, and we're going to express our love to God in different ways, and that's healthy.
Are there other ways that we can be selfish in our love language with God and others?
Well, I think, again, in the way we come to Christ, we can sometimes be critical of other people and say, well, you know, they didn't have the kind of experience I had. More likely, however, we're critical of ourselves and say, well, I didn't have the kind of experience that they're talking about. And you don't have to have their experience. You have your experience, you know. And the other thing, a point I really make in the book is this. We're creatures of habit, and we tend to get into ruts. So let's say that I volunteer to work in the soup kitchen because acts of service is my language. And every time I go down there, I dip those beans, I look up to the person in front of me, and I see Jesus. Because I remember what Jesus said. When you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. And so I'm dipping beans for Jesus. But that was 10 years ago. I still go to the soup kitchen every Thursday night. But I'm not thinking about God. I'm just dipping beans now. I've gotten into a rut. It's a routine. It's just what I do. And God never wants the relationship to be routine. And so what I say is, let's break out of the routine. Do a different act of service. Now, I'm not saying stop working in the soup kitchen. Maybe you want to continue that. But let's go bake cookies and take our children and take it to a person who can't get out. Or let's go trim the neighbor's shrubs. Let's do something else. And in doing it, you keep your love relationship with God alive and vibrant. And then learn some other languages. Maybe you're not a physical touch person, okay? But let's just take your lunch hour and go to a rest home, to a nursing home. And the people sitting in the hallway, in the chairs, and some of them can't even talk. And they say, ooh, ooh, ooh. And you just lean over and kind of put your arm on their shoulder, and they melt, you know. And you're loving them. You're God's representative to them. It's not natural for you to touch people, but you're doing it. You're going out of your comfort zone. And you will sense, you know, God's pleasure in seeing you love that person in that manner.
We're talking with Dr. Gary Chapman. The book is God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. Dr. Chapman, if folks want to find out more information about this book or other books that you've written, how can they do so?
They can go to 5lovelanguages.com, the number 5. 5lovelanguages.com.
Now, Dr. Chapman, one final question. If there's someone out there listening right now that just does not feel God's love and they just don't feel worthy that God could love them and they're struggling to feel that love, what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I would say none of us are worthy of the love of God. God is a God of grace. He wants to forgive our past. He wants us to come into His family. We have to do acknowledge the fact that we need to be forgiven and put our faith in what Christ did on the cross and say, Lord, I believe that He paid my sin. I'm asking You to forgive me. I want Your Spirit to come into my life. And when you do that, your heart reaches out to God. You come into God's family, whatever your love language. And you may or may not feel goosebumps running up and down your body, but it's faith in Christ and trusting Him to come into your life. And then you begin a journey. You know, you get to know God better as you read the Bible, because God's primary message today comes through the Scriptures. So then I would say start reading the Gospel of John. And as you read it, you become more and more enamored with the love of God.
And I would imagine learning a love language like learning any other language. You start at the beginning and you grow in that knowledge of that language and become more fluent in it.
Absolutely. And some people, you know, feel like, well, I don't have anything to offer. I've had a lot of failures in my life. Listen, God wants to use even our failures. And the fact that you failed in something and God brought you through that and forgave you and made you His child, you are a great spokesman to someone else who is going through failure in their lives. Whatever our past, God wants to forgive it, and God wants to use it to touch other people's lives.
Amen. Dr. Gary Chapman joining us. The book is God Speaks Your Love Language, How to Experience and Express God's Love. Dr. Chapman, thank you so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate you sharing with us this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you guys. Keep up the good work in the morning, okay?
All right, appreciate we will. You too. God
right.
bless, brother.
Thanks. Goodbye.